Be welcome in the name of the Lord. We have heard wonderful songs, and the fitting word to it is in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Zechariah 10, verse 1. As the Lord for rain at the time of the latter rain and of the early rain. The Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Let us start by singing from these little sheets. I hope that all have one. Song number 15, Redeemed, number 5, I'm redeemed. Song number 15. To this we say Amen. Amen. We are still in the valley of tears. We are still waiting for the changing of our body. But as we said many times, firstly, the inner has to be changed. A new heart, a new spirit, a new life. And if this has happened, then the outward changing of the body will also happen. Before Brother Daniel will read us a very short word of introduction, and before he prays with us, I would like to give you greetings. Brother and sister Holviti, sending greetings. Then we have greetings from Romania. There are about more than 80 computers connected at various places to listen. The transmission yesterday was not so good yesterday. And the joyful message is that in April, now in April, we will get a very new line from the Telekom, so that we have a fourfold capacity beginning of May to that what we have now. God was taking care of it, and God has given grace. We are just grateful for everything. At the right time, it comes when God wants to have it. Now, we sing a chorus, and we ask Brother Daniel to come to the front and to greet us. We are happy that especially from Romania, so many, and from Slovakia could come. And of course, from near and far, be welcome, all of you. And may the Lord God bless us today. I hope it will not be so long as yesterday. It will be short and powerful, because the word of the Lord can also be powerful. Let us sing a chorus, Who Says One. God is still on his plan. And then we ask Brother Daniel to come. The translator comes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's grace to be this morning at this place, on the place where God blesses, a place where we can see the wonderful works of God, here where we can also experience God. May his word be confirmed in our lives. I would like to give you greetings from our brothers from Romania. As we heard, we are in a direct connection via the transmission. They are all happy. They are grateful to be spiritually fed. I would read a short word from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. With us, the wonderful promises of God are being fulfilled. And here it is written, by this we are having part of the divine nature. From verse 2, 2 Peter 1, from verse 2, 2 Peter 1, from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Dumnezeiasca lui putere ne-a dăruit tot ce privește viața și evlavia prin cunoașterea celui ce ne-a chemat prin slava și puterea lui.
According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue.
Ca prin ele să vă faceți părtași firii dumnezești, după ce ați fugit de stricăciunea care este în lume prin pofte.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As we heard yesterday, there is a need of a conversion, of a new birth. There is the need of a renewing, so that we can partake of the divine nature afterward, so that God can reveal His plan unto us. The word from Zechariah 10 was already read. It's written, ask of the Lord, ask. We have to know what we have to ask for. And this the Lord shows us.
In
Acts chapter 1, there it says of the promise of the Father. As the Lord said, this you have heard of me. And in Acts chapter 2, Acts 2, there's a scripture that this word has become a reality. Acts
2,
verse
33.
Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. At all times, all who believed the word of God, they could see and they could hear it. And they could touch the things which God has done in their midst. He has given us wonderful promises for this time. And we also want to experience these promises. We should rejoice about it, that we received such a marvelous grace from God, that we may be at a place where God completes His work. Here we can hear it. Here we can also see it in its fulfillment. We can touch it. We can handle it with our hands. We can be witnesses of these things. As yesterday, so also today, may God confirm His word. May God work in all our hearts. And the word which we hear, let us believe it with all our hearts. It's always a reality in our lives. May God bless you all richly. Amen. Brother Schmidt, do you want to pray with us? Please pray. Great God, we are coming to You in this hour, and we say thank You for all the grace and faithfulness which You have bestowed upon us. As it was told to us in Your word, Lord, You who have poured out Your Holy Spirit upon all flesh, we ask You, come into our midst. But this is not enough. Come into our hearts. Lord, take the first place in our lives, in our hearts, in our doings, so that we praise You and honor You, my God and my Lord. I thank You in Christ Jesus. Lord, we expect, as already said, last night You have given Your word unto us. You pointed us toward it, to what's all about. So give us the grace, not from our own, but Lord, through Your power, through Your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that we make ourselves available to you so that you can speak to us today, to each one of us, addressing each one, so that we don't follow up our own thoughts. But as you said yourself in your prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my, but your will be done. So may also in our midst your will be done for the glory and praise of your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today, we will hear two songs. Last night, I asked Brother Jean Lambert to sing us at least two stanzas of the new song in the French language. The next time, we will all sing it. And then, we have our beloved Brother Harry Schmidt, who also will sing a song with his wife. Come now to the front. Harry Schmidt, come please with your Helene and Brother Jean Lambert. In the meantime, you can also interrupt your translation. Please come to the front and sing us a song, if it's only two stanzas. In the meantime, I would like to remind you, Exodus 20:24, second part, at every place where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Believe it, he will come, he will bless.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, let nothing unholy remain. Apply thine own blood and extract every stain. To get this blessed cleansing, I all things forego. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The blessing by faith I receive from above. O glory, my soul is made perfect in love. My prayer has prevailed, and this moment I know the blood is applied. I am whiter than snow, whiter than snow, yet whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Amen.
It would be good if you would have sung the chorus in German, whiter than snow, whiter than snow, wash me, Savior, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Where's our brother? Our brother Jean Lambert. I have him in my heart. I told him at this place one day, his daddy was an ambassador in the city of Bonn, an ambassador in his country. At that time I was invited, and he was a very young man, and the Lord touched his heart. God bless you. God bless you.
La Bibisiba illumine nos pas de sa gloire, Dieu vient nous remplir. Quand je veux ce qu'il veut, en son nom je le peux. Simplement il faut croire, obéir. Pour que Dieu puisse ouvrir les écluses célestes, il faut croire, obéir. Veux-tu la liberté, le bonheur, la santé, que ton seul but soit de le servir? Car l'esprit n'est donné avec la joie, la paix. Car celui qui veut croire, obéit. Croire, obéit, pour que Dieu puisse ouvrir les écluses célestes. Il faut croire, obéir. À ses ordres soumis, sans aucun compromis, alors le Tout-Puissant peut agir. Il nous ouvre les flots, fait tomber Jéricho. Simplement, il faut croire, obéir. Croire, obéir, pour que Dieu puisse ouvrir les écluses célestes. Il faut croire, obéir. Oh, croire, obéir, pour que Dieu puisse ouvrir les écluses célestes, il faut croire, obéir.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Just so nice that we can sing unto the Lord in all the languages. And we really hope that all brothers and sisters, which languages are not so much included, that they nevertheless are blessed. You all know, on the balcony, the translation goes on in 12 languages. And all who are present, they are blessed, regardless in what language God speaks then with them. We had phone calls from Nairobi, phone calls from Australia, a large number of phone calls from Kinshasa. brothers were rejoicing that the transmission was done, even though only in part, with interruptions. Brothers and sisters, once again, be welcome in the precious name of our Lord. Here is a sheet of paper before me. There was the question whether today there could be a baptism. At this place, we really have always the possibility to baptize. And we are happy when brothers and sisters are ready to walk the way of obedience, the way of faith. I noted down a sentence. It will be worthwhile. It will be worthwhile to believe. To believe as the Scripture has said it. To this, I would like to read the word from Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward."
Verse 6.
And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We have heard it in the word of introduction. By the promises which God has given, we are partakers of the divine nature, because the word of God has the divine nature in itself. As the words of men have the nature of man in them, so God's word are spirit and life, and the supernatural is in the word of God. In every word there is a seed. The word is the seed, and the germ of life, which is in the word, in the seed, will be manifested. Brothers and sisters, it will be worthwhile to believe the promises for this time. It will be worthwhile to take our stand for the truth. It will be worthwhile to swim against the stream. It will be worthwhile to not please men, but to have the pleasure of God resting upon us. And the kernel of the proclamation of last night should be that God is in His Word, and when the Word is in us, and if we are in the Word, then John 15 comes to fulfillment. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Every branch has the life of the vine, and every branch brings forth the fruit of the vine. It manifests what kind of life is in the vine, which comes forth as a fruit. Our Lord, at that time, He said, "You cannot gather grapes from the thorn bush." you will recognize every tree on its fruit, and the good tree brings forth a good fruit. Of the good tree, it says in the singular, as a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth fruit in its season. Brother Branham preached a whole sermon about the tree as the bride tree. The church bears the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All the nine gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, are being manifested. And as we emphasized it last night, the same life which was in the Redeemer is in the redeemed. The divine nature. And here we have the comparisons in the Holy Scripture. The first one, the first comparison is in Cain and Abel. Two different seeds. The one hated and the other one was hated. The other one killed and the other one was killed. The same way with Ishmael and with Isaac. Isaac, a promised son, as an heir, which God appointed for him. And Ishmael, a wild man, his hand was against everyone, and all the hands were against him. Also lined out in Galatians, chapter 3, and in Galatians chapter 4, especially in verse 28 and 29, as he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. To be honest, a true child of God could make so much effort to slander, to hate. It would not function, it would not work. The other seed, he can do it without problems, because it is his nature. Also today, it is like this. The ones are believing, as the scripture says, they are the divine seed, and the other ones, they believe the interpretations, because they are not the divine seed. Everything what is born of God overcomes the world. And our biblical faith is the victory which has overcome the world. I am convinced that the church, which is now being called out, which swims against the stream. Somebody told me, he who doesn't swim against the stream, he has no life. He even made the comparison. If you see a fish swimming on the surface of the water, going with the stream, that fish is dead. And if you then would look into the water, all who have life, they swim against the stream. It was the task and it was the privilege of all the true believers to swim against the stream. Why? Because they put themselves upon the side of God. Also, this comparison we made yesterday, this conformity, this agreement, this divine harmony in the Old and the New Testament, from the ministries which God has given, foreshadowing the plan of salvation in itself, hiding them, so that at the right time it can be revealed. Be it whether it was Noah with whom God made a covenant, showing the bow of the covenant, the rainbow, putting it into the clouds, visible for all, as the sign, as a token. I will not smite the earth again with a flood. Whether it was Abraham who received the token, the sign, the circumcision, he received the covenant sign from God. And be it strangers, be it those belonged to the flock, elected flock, the circumcision was a divine command, and it had to remind on the original sin in the Garden of Eden. Just reminding, as Eve had to bear the children with pain, as our Lord said it, that's how later on it was shown wherein the covenant with God was broken, namely by the fleshly begetting. And then it is shown to us wherein the covenant was newly erected with us, namely by the begetting by the Spirit. Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and the power from the highest shall overshadow thee. And that which is born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. And therefore, our Lord says, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, what is born of the flesh, that is flesh. Also this, I've said it before, in both languages, in the Hebrew and in the Greek, there's only one word for begetting and for bearing, giving birth. Only one word. The same word for begetting and for giving birth. Concerning the man, it's the begetting. Concerning the woman, it's the giving birth. Also, to this, we don't want to go into details today. But so much we know. Only what is being born of God has eternal life and has the divine nature in itself. My slogan for today is, it will be worthwhile. It will be worthwhile to be silent before God. Not to oppose, not to rebel, but to get the word directly revealed by God. Also this we've emphasized very clearly. The grounding of the New Testament church was an act of God. Not Peter grounded the church, but God himself by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as John the Baptist had his ministry, and as he cried out, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then comes Luke 24. Remain in Jerusalem until ye are endued with the power from on high. Then ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the world. And then we read Acts chapter 2. When the time was fulfilled, it happened. And Peter, he was asked the question, what shall we do to be saved? He gave the answer, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Not to get the remission, this was received by the blood of the Lamb. But to the faith and to the forgiveness belongs the confirmation of ourselves, so that we make the covenant of a good conscience with God, and that we confess to be crucified with Christ, to have died with Him, and then according to Romans chapter 6, to be buried with Him by baptism into His death. To partake of His resurrection life. Whoever does not let himself be baptized biblically will have big trouble. He will have big trouble. And also concerning this, it can be said, God overlooked the time of ignorance. He overlooked all the time of ignorance. All the times in which God's word was interpreted, and where the people had no direct orientation from above, but where they were depending upon knowledge. Today, we are not only depending upon knowledge, but we depend upon revelation. But as it was promised, seal up the book until the end time. Then many will search in it, and so knowledge shall increase by revelation. And then we read, many will be purified and many will be cleansed. This just belongs together. The calling out is connected with the separation, with the purification, with the sanctification, so that we can become again the temple of God, the manifestation place of God here on this earth, where the supernatural working of God can take place by His grace. Yes, it must take place. The Lord said to Abraham, thy reward will be very, very great. Why? You believed the promise which I have given you. And the reward to believe God, it comes. Just be certain of it. It comes. As Abraham was rewarded, so all of the seed of Abraham will be rewarded. People who believed God, who didn't look unto the natural things, who didn't look to the visible, not looking to the corruptible things, not looking unto himself, not looking unto their wives. Sarah was also old. She was 90 years old. He was 100 when the promise was fulfilled. But he was not interested in it at all. God had the responsibility for the fulfillment of what He promised. Today, it's the same. The responsibility is not with a prophet or with an apostle or somebody sent by God to fulfill the scripture. It's with God the responsibility. And God can do more things than we could understand and what we could ask. To this belongs the word from Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. For us, who we in these days have the great privilege to believe and hear the word of prophecy, and to get it revealed by His grace. And we all know, all the others, they are shaking their heads about that, that we are so naive, and that we believe, as the Scripture says, and not believing as they believed since many generations. What was believed since generations is one thing, and what God promised in His Word is a totally different thing. And we are not looking for what the churches or denominations have decided what should be believed, but we, for us it's about, as our Lord said, He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said. And God has left unto us the Old and New Testament, and He really, He has sent apostles and prophets to show us and to preach unto us the whole counsel of God. As Paul said it in Acts 20, verse 27, by saying, I have declared unto you all the counsel of God. Our Lord, in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 40 and 41, He said something very, very special of those whom He sends. He that receiveth you, receiveth Me, and he that receiveth Me, receiveth him that sent Me. Something very powerful. To us is being shown the choice. He that receiveth you. Each one can decide for himself whether he receives a servant of God or whether he rejects him. To those who receive Him, it says in verse 41, He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Let us go with this to the special word in Matthew, chapter 23. Matthew 23, verse 34, Matthew 23:34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. True prophets, true sent ones of the Lord, were always persecuted, were always killed and crucified, because they carried the divine message, which doesn't fit into the religious program in the certain time. And everything what is not in agreement, which is recognized by all the people, everything, they rejected it. They were against it. They didn't receive it. But then the Lord says, in the same chapter, in verse 37, Matthew 23, verse 37, the very serious warning, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Not evangelists are being killed or stoned. They are not being rejected. No. They are being praised by all. And they are received. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, church, church, church of Jesus Christ, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Bound in the creeds of the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, the Lord brought the message, and of him it says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. And then he sent prophets, the men of God. And here he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. The promise from the prophet Malachi, from the last verses, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. It's really in connection with the end time. It's the most important promise for the church of Jesus Christ. And if you read the word in Malachi precisely, there it says, remember the law of my servant Moses, as I ordained it for all Israel on Mount Horeb. Here it says, Malachi, be it chapter 3, verse 22, or some have the four chapters. The English Bible has four chapters. Verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Moses had the task to proclaim to Israel the law. And also in all of the New Testament, the Gentiles are called as the lawless ones because they did not have the law. The law and the promises God gave to Israel, his people of the old covenant. God, at that time, he didn't make a covenant with any nation, but with his called out chosen people, Israel. And also this goes back to Abraham, who believed God, to Isaac, who believed God, to Jacob, who believed God. And then came the change from Jacob, that deceiver became a warrior of God, Israel. He had the connection with God. He was wrestling with the angel until he prevailed and until the sun rose for him and until the Lord spoke to him. Thou shalt no more be called Jacob, but thou shalt be called Israel. So, God in the Old Testament, He chose a very natural people. In the New Testament, this is the announcement, probably in the last chapter, in the Moses books, that God would bless all the peoples of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 34. You can read it. That God will bless all the nations. And also Israel will then be jealous. Because God also has chosen people from the nations and sanctified them. But let us come to our main subject. It will be worthwhile for me, for you, for all of us. It will be worthwhile that we in this time are putting ourselves onto the side of God. And to this, I read some scriptures now to show us that the faithfulness will be rewarded. Luke chapter 6, we read Luke 6, from verse 22, Luke 6, from verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. One question. What is more important? To remain in the fellowship of the people or to remain in the fellowship with God? Let them close us out from all the denominations. As long as we are closed in, and as long as we may be in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because here it says, blessed are ye. In the Sermon of the Mount, we have 9 beatifications. Here we have again 1. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Yes, this we experienced already. And this we experienced painfully. Then it continues. When they shall separate you from their company. What do I want in a company of men? Even it's so nicely decorated religiously. We are called, we are ordained and chosen to be in the fellowship of the Spirit, connected with God. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we have been called out. And this for a purpose which remains forever. And then, of course, belongs to it that they shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. And then it says, for the Son of Man's sake. I would have never been persecuted. I would have had a nice life in my life. But for the elect's sake, I am ready to bear even more reproach until now. If only all reach the goal, and if it is being fulfilled, what I have seen in January 1981, what I experienced, an innumerable multitude which was raptured, all were clothed in white linen, all were young, and we were taken up. Brothers and sisters, the purpose of the proclamation now is of course the preparation and the completion of the church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then, in verse 23 it says, our Lord says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. On the earth, we are scoffed at, we are reproached, we are rejected. A scoffing word we are. And then the Lord says, rejoice. Rejoice and leap for joy. Jubilate. Yes. This is something tremendous. When they reproach us, when they separate us from their company, when they cast us out, when they use our name as evil, then our joy should be great. And with this joy, we have the promise that our reward is great in heaven. Abraham, thou believed me. Your reward will be very, very great. People of God, seed of Abraham, you believed me. You endured all the scoffing, all the reproach, with all whom the Lord sent. And your reward will be great. Because you received the man sent from God. Therefore you have to also take bear their reproach. But because you received them, and because you bear also their reproach, therefore you will receive the same reward which the prophets received. Amen. More we don't need. To me it's enough. If I would receive the reward of the prophet Isaiah, this will be a nice thing. The reward of Brother Branham, I would also like to receive. Because they all were servants of God. They were reproached walking over this earth. But let us read this verse 23 again. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. I always said, I don't want to have any reward. The reward shall be therein that all who believe the message and hear the word of the message of God in this time, that they are with me, with the Lord. More reward I don't want. And be honest. What kind of reward will Isaiah receive? What kind of reward all the prophets will receive? What kind of reward John the Baptist will receive? What kind of reward will they receive? The reward is the reward of our Lord, that all are being reconciled with God, that all receive the revealed word, and that they receive also the servants which he sends. And then we are all satisfied. Then the reward of those who were sent and the reward of those who received the sent ones will be the same. And together with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, we will sit at the table and we will have the Lord's, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. In Luke chapter 10, we also have a statement which goes into this direction. Luke 10, from verse 22 to 24. Here it says, All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And now it comes. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately. The first part directed to the multitudes. This could have been thousands upon thousands. And then he addresses his disciples in particular. And he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Brothers and sisters, is this not applying for our time now? What a blessing for us that we may hear that what God decided from before the foundation of the world, who led us into the deep mysteries of his word and counsel. How many generations have passed and people didn't see what we see. They didn't hear what we are hearing. We are a privileged people, a pardoned generation by God before the return of Jesus Christ, which has the privilege to see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy on all levels. And in particular, the emphasis is on the word of the promise for the church. Also this we emphasized many times. How many are speaking about Israel? How many are speaking about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy? Oh, what is being written there? But who writes about the promise so that we can have part of the divine nature, so that we can have partake of that what God has connected with the promise, namely that the hearts of the children of God would be turned back to that what was taught at the beginning, what was done at the beginning, that before the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, a restoration has to take place so that everything is being restored before God. They are all bypassing it. And therefore, the Lord turns to his disciples. Both is the same word. Disciples and pupils. We are sitting at the feet of our Lord, and we are hearing his words, he the Master, and we the brothers. And by the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God, we are being taught. Not at the feet of a Gamaliel, not at the feet in a Bible school or in a seminary, but really at the feet of our Lord. And then we may belong to those of whom it is written, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, we have the very well-known word, such a deep word of our Lord. John, chapter 4. And here, from verse 31, let us be honest. Although all the words are known to us, the Lord God speaks again to us through His Word. And He leads us always deeper into His Word. Here we have the connection with the food, with the will of God, and with the completion of the work of God. John 4, from verse 31. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have food to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Has any man brought him aught to eat? A very natural conversation. It was about the natural hunger, natural food. And then our Lord says, in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That's what's all about today. The prophets in the Old Testament announced what would happen. They announced the Redeemer. And then came the fulfillment. And here we see our Lord in the fulfillment of that for what He was sent, for what He came for, to finish the work to which I was sent. And then verse 35, let us read it. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. You see, very natural our Lord speaks, and then comes the supernatural. What's all about? Verse 35, second part. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. 4 months to the harvest. And then the Lord leads into the spiritual realm, and He says, look on the fields, they are ready to harvest. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. The sower, according to Matthew 13, he was sowing the good seed. The children of God are the seed which has come up, the wheat. And he, the wheat corn, and all the children of God are the wheat, full in the ear. And our Lord says, the fields are ripe, bring the fruit in, so that both may rejoice, namely the sower who sowed the seed and the reaper which bring in the harvest. Now verse 38, I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Yes. We contributed nothing. Now just be honest. What did we contribute? What could we contribute to become a believer? To believe what and as the scripture says. Is not everything grace? Is not everything a gift which we received from the Lord?
In
2 John, and with this we will close this subject. We will come to it very briefly. That God also has to correct some things. Here in 2 John from verse 7. 2 John verse 7. And here we have once again the thought to receive a full reward. A full reward. 2 John from verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. We cannot go into detail here. There are both things in the Epistle of John. The one says, whoever does not confess that Jesus came into the flesh, he is the Antichrist. And then the second thing is, whoever does not confess that Jesus Christ cometh in the same manner as he went up into heaven, he's also an antichrist. And this is a very important word. Also within the message, there are people who just say, the Lord came already. How many times shall I say it here at this place? My answer was always the same. When the Lord comes, then I go. When the Lord comes, then the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who we are alive shall be changed. A man who claims that the Lord came already is either not normal or he has lost the orientation totally. If it is written in the Bible, Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then this is God's word, and it's for our orientation. When the Lord comes as the Son of Man, and when he sits upon the throne of his glory, and when all the nations will be gathered before him, this is a totally different coming. And when he comes as the angel of the covenant, with the open book in his hand, when he descends, and when he puts his feet upon land and sea, and when he lifts up his right hand, swearing to him who lives forever, that the time shall be no more, no more delayed. This is a totally different coming. We are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who shall come in like manner as he went up into heaven. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, In like manner, as we can also not bear, and as we cannot allow that false doctrines are being circulated, be it doctrines from denominations, from the church history, there we must say the same thing. It applies to all who have deviated from the word, who don't look into God's word, and who make something out of the statements of Brother Branham. They are coming to the most different conclusions, which are not true, neither make sense. The Church of Jesus Christ is ordained to believe the word in such a way as it is written, and not to add anything. This goes up to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And this verse I would like to read in this connection. Because here it says also that the Lord would come and that his reward is with him. His reward will come with him. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then we read in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Brothers and sisters, in the last circular letter, with great pain, I had to emphasize that the revelations of God are not given by a sister in a private home, but in the church of the living God. Everything what comes from God happens in the church, not in any private home where people are putting things together and then they call it a revelation, but before God, in the church. And here we read it again. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And then the promise, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Firstly, the Lord speaks to the church, in the church. Then the bride is being called out, and then bride and bridegroom speaks the same language by the Spirit, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then we have in verse 18, it's written, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. The words of the prophecy of this book. Let us go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. Here we have the emphasis, which is laid upon the word of prophecy. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Because of time, I only read from verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. It is ours. We didn't only hear it. We received it. We carry it in our hearts. We received the word of prophecy. And ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Please listen. Listen carefully now. What is written in the next two verses. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And in reference to the prophecy of the Scripture, we are told, for the prophecy came not in any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the spoken things are is God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, this is the divine order for the church. The disorder is described, which refers to those who separate from the church. And these are then those who think to have gifts, but who deceive the people. May it be heard today worldwide. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. That's how it is written in the Epistle to the Corinthians, also written in Ephesians chapter 4. Then we have 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, how the nine gifts of the Spirit are operated in the church, not somewhere at some auntie or some spiritual sister in some kind of private home, as it was then in the west and east of this country. But the gifts of the Spirit, they are operated for the edification of the church, not for the destruction. And as Brother Branham said it in a special way, he emphasized the gifts of the Spirit. He said in the Old Testament, the high priest had the breastplate, namely the 12 tribes of Israel, as the precious stones worked in into the breastplate, the precious stones. And whoever had a dream, whoever had a revelation, he had to come into the temple. He was not allowed to remain at home. He had to come into the temple. He had to stand before the breastplate. And it's called the light and perfections, the Urim and Tumim. If the thing was right, if the dream was true, then it had to be told. And then the light was flashing in a supernatural way. It confirmed that this woman or this man, whatever he dreamt, it is right, it is correct, it is from God. But if the one came and he was standing there, and behold, it remained dark. It was not an answer. There was no answer. God refused the answer. God can only confirm His word. God can only confirm that what comes from Him. And then it happened that the people had to go away ashamed, because that what they said was not right, was not in agreement with God and His word, but it was after their own imaginations they spoke. They could go away, and actually they had to say nothing at all. In the prophet Ezekiel, I just read 3-4 verses, we have the list of those who the private prophetesses, which then do their doings. Ezekiel, chapter 13. Let us just read verse 17 and 18. And then verse 22 and 23. Ezekiel 13, 17 and 18. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. If I have to do it this today, then please, nobody should tell me now that with this I would have own purposes. I'm not here in my own name, not here in my own thing. It's just about that God's people are being pulled away from those who lie and who lead in error, and that are being brought back to God and His word, back to the church of the living God, so that light and perfections can be confirmed, so that the light gets the confirmation by the light. Here the people, the daughters of the people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and who call themselves prophetesses, and the prophet should prophesy against them. This is a difficult task, very difficult task. In verse 18 it says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature of to hunt souls. My God, to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? All who believe them, they are following them then, and they think everything is all right. And all who reject them, who oppose them, they are then closed out of them, but closed in with the Lord. Now just the two verses. 22. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life,
nicht abkehrten, am Leben zu bleiben.
Verse 23. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations. They are imaginations, which are then called visions, and everything is lied. And here it says, no divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. The moment is here, and I don't ask for, I don't apologize. I say it here openly and freely, at this place, which God has ordained, that His Word is not only being heard in this country, not only in this city, but that it's being heard worldwide. I say this with great pain, and I'm asking you, and judge yourself now. Perhaps it's private now, but doesn't matter. What do you think? What do you think of a prophecy in which it was said, namely in reference to the daughter of this woman? Because at that time, you didn't separate from your husband, therefore I separate you now from him, and you shall live. Firstly, totally against the Holy Scripture. The woman, the daughter, was about dying of cancer, received a chemical treatment, cannot stand anymore, not walk anymore. And because of her mother, she divorces her husband. She goes to the lawyer. 15 months are passing.
And she had with her man.
And she didn't speak one word with her husband anymore. Her husband didn't see her anymore. And she died in December. And now it was 10 years ago. She died not reconciled because the mother gave her the prophecy to separate from her husband and then to get divorced so that she will be healed. You can imagine what this meant for me and what this still means for me. And even today, there are the grandchildren, and her son is of the opinion that this was from God. And all who didn't believe it, they were guilty now that her mother left now her four children and that she because her husband didn't get divorced. And this shall be a revelation. And this all the people believe. My brothers and sisters, the moment has come that all these women who are prophesying of their own heart, who caused nothing but confusion, be it in Ost or West, that all are being informed about it. That the Lord God can only bless in His church, that He speaks only in His church, and that all have to stand before God so that the judgment goes forth whether the thing is from God or not. Brothers and sisters, more I don't want to say today. More I don't want to say. In closing, I just connect this with that what we heard and emphasized at the beginning. Thy reward will be very, very great. Why will be the reward of Abraham great? Because he believed, because he obeyed, because he did what the Lord commanded him, being found in the will of God. And even Jesus Christ, in Matthew 1 verse 1, he was called the son of Abraham. So, let us believe as the scripture says, and everything else They shall check everything. But it's very strange that such people are not checking anything, but so-called prophetesses, they are put over God and over God's word. And the word of God is not valid anymore, but only what these women are saying. And then the main representative was just now in Romania. He wanted to represent the voice of God there, doing some things there. Brothers and sisters, the moment has come. Speak against these women. They are at home. And they deceive the people and cause nothing but confusion, calamity for the families and whoever comes into connection with it. Whoever remains in the church of the living God, and may the correction be so serious, there will always be hope. God never condemns only. God says what is not right. And then he shows us how we should humble ourselves before him. Then we to correct those things which are not in order. The wish of the Lord is that we as the church, that we take the things of the church so to heart that we ask God to intervene. And even it would be with fasting and praying, let each one be led to pray. That God turns his face again to us. That all the curse, everything what was, that it is being lifted, and so that God can bless anew. Now, directed to all those who want to be baptized, you of course heard about it, and you read about it. The Holy Scripture says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Also Peter didn't give a long explanation, not a long teaching sermon. All who believed, 3,000 in number, on the very same day they were baptized, and they were added unto the church. May it happen by his grace that all who are not yet baptized biblically, and who are not yet under the divine influence, and let me say it here clearly, it's very important under which influence we are. We have to remain under the divine influence of the word to get the word revealed, to have the faith. To accept the baptism in agreement with the word, to be baptized biblically by a immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the biblical teaching for all of us. And I am convinced that all who are of God, they will hear the voice of God, and they will fulfill all righteousness with all their heart, and they will be baptized. Please take the word of introduction from Genesis 15, verse 1 with you. Thy reward will be very great. You believed. You trusted me. Thy reward will be very great. Thy reward, precious brother, precious sister, your reward will be very great. Our reward will be the reward which the prophets and apostles, all those sent by God, received, will receive. And all who received them and who believed them, they will be blessed. And they will be rewarded by the Lord God. This is altogether the painful reward of our beloved Lord of the cross of Calvary. He sowed the seed. We have come into the harvest, and we are the first fruit, of the harvest. And we thank God with all our heart for it. May He show you the words in all the connections. I say this now out of an inner sadness. I'm not succeeding to bring everything in a way I want to. As I said the last time, the carrier of the word is getting old and weak, but the word is always new and always full of power.
So,
not the volume, but the word in itself. And this I feel in my heart. You not only receive the messenger and the message, namely the word of God. The word of God is in you, sealed. It was sealed by the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless us all and be with us. Amen. We stand up and we sing, except the sisters will sing us a song as an invitation, that we let go forth the call that all who would like to dedicate their lives to the Lord. Also this I wanted to do this weekend. For instance, a sister comes, which is married, and she wants to speak with me, then I have to stand on it that the husband is present when it is being spoken. And when the brother asks me to speak with him without that his wife is there, then I have to say, this is impossible. This time is over. Only when both are present, then it can be spoken. Only then both can be helped. Back to God, back to His Word, back to the biblical order, and we are all submitting under the mighty hand of God. Precious sisters, sing us a song, an invitation to come to the Lord, and then we will pray.
Bist du bereit zu der Stunde, wenn Gott die Seinen heimholt? Hast du vernommen die Kunde, wie er die Seinen belohnt, wenn er erscheint in den Wolken, in Majestät und in Pracht? Ich kann's nicht sagen in Worten, mein Herz es jubelt und wacht. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Kannst du begreifen die Liebe, die Jesus Christus dir beut? Bist du mit ihm dann im Frieden, wenn Jesus käme noch heut? Er hat die Städte bereitet für die noch warten der Schar, die immer treu für ihn streiten. Es kommt der verheißene Tag. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland. Wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Nichts ist vom Leid mehr geblieben, Spott und Hohn sind dann vorbei. Jesus will allzeit dich lieben, dies meine Losung soll sein. Möchtest du mit in die Heimat, willst Jesus du einmal sehen. Er nur bringt dich in die schöne Stadt, du brauchst nur zu Jesus zu gehen. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland. Wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland. Wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand.
Amen.
The calling and the election goes even higher. He that overcometh will sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down on the throne of my Father. Now, I would like to ask that all who would like to be baptized, that they raise their hands. I know that there are some from Poland. Please come to the front. All ye who want to be baptized, please come to the front so that we can see. Is somebody else here? Somebody else who wants to be baptized? Make use of this opportunity and follow the Lord. Obey Him. He will make it well. It will be worthwhile. It will be worthwhile to follow the Lord, to believe Him, to serve Him, and to complete the walk by faith. You dedicated your life to the Lord. Did you dedicate your life to the Lord? Amen. You dedicated your life to the Lord, you precious sister. You also dedicated your life to the Lord. Do you speak German or French? How old are you, precious sister? We only baptize from the age of 12. She's 13. Yes, the children the Lord blessed, but the grown-ups, the adults, they were baptized. The same we are doing at this place. And why do I take the age of 12? Our Lord is mentioned in the temple where he was 12 years old, where he spoke with the scribes about the word. This is an age Before it speaks only of the circumcision, of the dedication, and then with the age of 12, and then with the age of 30, he started the ministry. That's how it's written. As it was ordained in the Old Testament, that the servants should start their ministry with the age of 30. Also, this was fulfilled with our Lord.
And so,
led by the Spirit, we did it from the very beginning.
That
firstly, we have to make sure that the youth have an experience with the Lord and that they receive the Lord as their personal Savior, and then they are being baptized. Now in 3 minutes the transmission will be closed. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our heart and with all our soul for your presence, for your word, for the working of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that what you have done on this weekend in our midst and worldwide. Precious Lord, you are giving clarity by the truth. You are revealing yourself. You are speaking. You are saving. You are healing. You are blessing. All this you have done at this weekend in these two meetings. And by faith, we may honor you. We may touch the hem of your garment. You are the same yesterday, today, and the same forever. And we ask you, beloved Lord, that not only healings, but that miracles, healing miracles would happen, creation miracles would happen by your power. We believe your word, and we know that power goes from you. You as the risen one, you said, to me is given all power in heaven and on earth. This we believe. You, the victor of Calvary, you have carried everything to the cross. Our sins are forgiven. Our diseases are healed. We thank you with all our hearts for it. Now we ask, we pray for these brothers and sisters who will be baptized. Be with them. Bless Brother Schmidt, who will baptize. Bless all those who are going to be baptized. Confirm thy word in them, on them. May it also be confirmed. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For unto you and to your children and to all who are far off is the promise. As many as the Lord God shall call. We thank you, beloved Lord, that the days of the Bible are here again. We thank you once again for your word, for the revelation by the Holy Spirit, for the deep insight, for the separation, for the purification, and for the sanctification in the truth. Thy word is the truth. Bless us all and be with us in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen.